Welcome to In the Money, sponsored by Flyer Financial Technologies, the company that builds cutting-edge technology designed to solve asset and wealth management firms' toughest trading workflows. In this podcast, we help advisors and asset managers understand how technology is transforming the wealth tech sector. We'll cover how to leverage technology for faster, smarter investment decisions, megatrends, and more. Now, on to the show.
Hi, and welcome to In the Money. I'm your host, Rusty Summer, Managing Director of Strategic Partnerships at Flyer Financial Technologies. And I'm fortunate enough today to be joined by Brett Kunchek, CFA and Head of Options and Structured Notes at Mariner Wealth Advisors. If you don't know Flyer Financial, we power the fintech you love and use every day. In this episode, we're exploring why and how you can implement options in high net worth client portfolios, in addition to what to look for as you work with your clients, that could be that tell that they're open to it. So let's jump in. Brett, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Rusty. Great chatting with you today.
Yeah, it is wonderful. It is really good. For those of you who are into college rivalries, you'll be interested to know that Brett and I are bitter rivals. You went to the University of Kansas, Brett. I went to Kansas State. But we do promise to each of you to keep things civil for today anyways. But no, really, this should be a lot of fun. Brett, you have built a very successful offering that delivers quite unique solutions to high net worth clients who possibly are looking for something a little bit different or need alternatives to many of today's standard investment offerings. And this has been by focusing on option-based strategies in those client portfolios. In my view, or in my experience, not many advisors or clients know enough about them or how to use them. And I think that there are many misconceptions out there about things like risk, amongst others. Let's try to debunk a few of those myths today while simplifying this. And let's make the conversation a little bit more understandable and arm folks with some information that they can use in their practice. So maybe let's start with this. Let's start with Mariner and your history there. Why did a group focusing on option strategies come together? And what interested you in both Mariner and derivatives within the high net worth space?
Yeah, definitely. So our founder is very entrepreneurial, and he is forward looking and is always looking at different ways to enhance the overall client experience and provide value added functions for clients. So having a dedicated in-house options team was one of those ways to really provide something unique and a differentiated experience for our clients. Here at Mariner, we have a dedicated in-house equities team and fixed income team, which is fairly common within the industry. But then we also have options, structured notes, and looking at private alternatives as well. So really rounding out the portfolio and providing the whole suite of investments that, you know, could be a fit for our clients.
Gotcha. And why was it interesting to you? I mean, when you were thinking about what you wanted to do with your life, not everybody kind of finds this path to go down.
Yeah, I've always been interested in investments and finance. And, you know, I'd be lying if I said, yeah, I wanted to go be a, you know, an option portfolio manager since the time I was 18, right? It's like a lot of things in life, you know, you kind of just end up eventually in a spot that suits you. And so luckily, again, it's not just I like the job, but, you know, I found my way to a great company. And then Mariner Wealth Advisors has grown tremendously over the years that has also allowed me to grow within the options space and then adding structured notes more recently. So derivatives have always been of interest to me. And luckily, you know, everything came together to end up where I am today.
All right. So your AUM has grown quite rapidly. The last 2 or 3 years have been incredibly good for your team. Your client assets have popped to a little over a few billion dollars under management within the strategies you oversee, and you continue to see very strong demand. Something's working at Mariner. What is Mariner's philosophy for alternative strategies that leverage these options?
Yeah, so you can think of options as just another tool in the toolbox, right? So options aren't a fit for everybody. But especially in Mariner's case, where our focus is more on the high net worth individuals, if you're in this environment, especially where you have more uncertainty, whatever what we call that wall of worry is, you know, those several items on there, that's where options can really be a fit. To take a step back, you know, how do we use options? Well, we think of options from a wealth perspective, right? We aren't using them to speculate and take big risks. It's actually the exact opposite. You know, we're always looking to, achieve one or more of these three objectives, which are protect on the downside, provide cash flow or incremental cash flow to clients, or enhance the total return of the portfolio. So in this uncertain environment, instead of having kind of more of that barbell approach of, you know, being in equities or you're in cash or very high quality fixed income, we found these option strategies, structured note strategies, have been a true alternative that gets you to a spot that can have more risk, but more return potential than, say, cash or high quality fixed income, but a buffered equity risk exposure. So that's where it's just been really attractive in this environment. And that's what's led to a lot of the AUM growth.
Yeah. And another thing I think that drives a little bit of this is the change in the rate environment. Rates are up. I think that advisors and clients are probably sitting there thinking, like, how do I deal with that in the context of a traditional, 60-40, equity fixed income portfolio? Real estate's been fantastic over the last, 15 years. And now that's cooling and people are trying to find different ways to either generate income or, reduce risk, or, maybe they want to step into the market. Kind of some interesting strategies out there. And I appreciate your comment about the wall of worry persisting, because people do certainly have that, right? They may say today things are better, tomorrow things will be better, but there's always a reason why.
Yeah. I think, a couple of years ago, if you would have told me, hey, we're going to have 5%, risk-free rate that people can get on their cash. And I would have said, if you would have said, hey, would you have more or less demand for your strategies? I would have probably said, well, less, because a lot of what we do is generate cash flow. It's been the exact opposite, ironically, is the higher rates have gone, the more demand we've seen. I think it's because of uncertainty. We have inflation that's not, at zero anymore. So that factors into people's decisions as well. So overall, yeah, it's just a confluence of everything that's come together to really see the demand of these alternatives.
I want to come back to something that you mentioned just a minute ago. It feels to me like some advisors or clients are viewing options a bit like going to the casino. There's been recent product development around 0 and 1 day option expirations, where things just kind of go poof and it's very binary. It's yes or no, you lose it all or you're going to make a ton. And I think that leaves people feeling uneasy, right? And it reinforces that view of it's gambling. Is it possible to have a lower risk strategy? And how does today's volatile market play into that?
Yeah, and that's a lot of the reaction I get from our clients, because 98% of our clients have never used options or knowingly invested in an investment that uses options. A lot of my job is education, and that's a lot of the reaction I initially get, right? Hey, options are risky. They're complex. I can use them to speculate, kind of a 10X or nothing type of return profile. And I always say, yes, that's true. But how we use them is actually completely the opposite, right? We do very conservative things versus, taking the risky. And that's the beauty of options, right? In that, you can create the different outcomes that you want to create. We just, you don't hear about the conservative things in the news, right? It's always the crazy things that happened with options. And then you got into the meme stock craze and madness in 2020, 2021. So that only fed into that more. Ironically, though, I think that does help. It did create more awareness around options. So once we can come in and say, hey, that's not what we do. What we're doing is really looking to use these as a tool to help achieve our clients' objectives. Then I think that really resets the thinking around options.
Great. I think I'm going to save for a couple minutes anyways, talk about what some of the specific option strategies would be, because I think that maybe in a minute, what we'll do is we'll talk about what you're doing in the context of what advisors could potentially do or possibly reach out to you for some help with. So before that, let's maybe talk a little bit about your team, right? I think that this is a differentiator for what you provide. You have a very efficient and focused team. There's only, a small handful of you that are working on this to manage that large client base. You were using proprietary technology to implement your strategies and at the time to create scale. But as that grew and it got to be more complex, there were some risks and some things that you started to recognize that you wanted to kind of tackle. What drove you to pivot to a hosted solution, and why did we end up working together from your experience?
Yeah, Flyer's become a very good partner of ours. It's just how it developed over the years. Like you said, in the beginning, we had a developer in-house who built our system because from our perspective, there was nothing that we were able to find as far as third-party systems to be a good solution for us. So built that, and it's worked well over the years, but you know, a decade into the system, as you can imagine with the growth, we needed to build upon that for the next decade, right? And that's where, you know, partnering with Flyer to add different functionality, to take a lot of risk off of the back end, right? That I'm not familiar with and not smart enough to speak to on this call. But overall, it was a much better solution because we're not a software development firm, right? At the end of the day, we're still a wealth management firm. And we wanted to pivot back to say, hey, let's partner with Flyer and we can, you know, really enhance our system that we use. And at the end of the day, it turned out to be the best solution and the best decision we've made for that and to get to the next 10 years.
Yeah. And I think that that's a interesting point to dig into a little bit for both small and large asset managers or advisory firms who are providing these types of services to clients. What is your intellectual property? Is it the development and implementation of your investment thesis and your strategies? Are you more of a BlackRock where you have that? And in addition to that, you're a technology provider. And I think that it's a very challenging thing to go develop your own technology where you've got to have one or two or five or 10 people who are writing code, who are building this. And if you have a small team, there's risk if somebody gets hit by a bus, what do you do tomorrow morning? Or they're on vacation, you know, out of the country and you can't reach and the system doesn't run. You know, how do you service your clients at that point? So many firms in you know, my 20 years in doing this have kind of come to that. There's also, you know, time to market, and there is, you know, being able to meet the demands of your clients. So it's always interesting to find out when people come to that realization that, hey, it's better to partner and do it that way. I think with that in mind, one task I feel like we as an industry need to do a better job of is to help people with the why and how for using option strategies. Often, in my view, it's hidden behind some sort of technical jargon, and the headwinds to implementing those strategies sometimes are overwhelming. Why do you see options as a useful tool that can be deployed in client portfolios? And is there a chance for advisors to differentiate themselves possibly?
Yeah, definitely. So again, how we use options, we look at it from a wealth management perspective, and we're really looking to achieve, you know, the three objectives that I mentioned earlier: increase cash flow, protect on the downside, or enhance the total return. And we have a handful of strategies that do, you know, variations of achieving those objectives. When we look at a client's situation, you know, if you could get by with just stocks, bonds, cash, and you don't need options, then yeah, you don't need options, right? Again, you don't need options for every client. But as you're going up higher in net worth, a lot of these risk reward structures that we can create with options become a lot more attractive, at least for a slice of the portfolio, right? And so having that allocation to that alternative can be a nice feature for clients overall.
So for everybody who is, I would say, working with clients, building a business, trying to grow their assets under management, one of the big parts is client acquisition, right? And being able to understand your prospect and or client needs and differentiate when they come to you. So you've been doing this a while now. What are some of the tells, some of the things that advisors should be looking for when they're working with clients that may point to a need or maybe even an openness on the client side to evaluate some of these more unique strategies?
Yeah. So when looking at a client, I think a lot of times advisors will say, oh, this client has traded some options on their own. They'll be a fit, right? And that can be a fit. But a lot of times, again, it's not the clients who use options who are clients and who are the clients I think we're adding the most value for. It's really when advisor come across as, hey, I need to add some additional cash flow to this client's portfolio. How can I do that? Right. Well, your more simplistic covered calls can take your equity portfolio from yielding 2 or 3% to 6-7%. Yeah. Right. And you can get that extra cash flow off of there. or, you know, creating that alternative risk reward structure by having a level of downside protection that maybe the client desires and or maybe needs because they're maybe overweight equities, so they need to de-risk a little bit. So I would say it's really a function of what's the objective we're looking to achieve. And then I could tell you what the most appropriate strategy would be to achieve that objective versus maybe saying, hey, here's the client and they're interested in options, right? Well, that could be a fit, but I like to look at, hey, what are we trying to achieve? And then I can tell you how to get there with options if that's the best route to go.
Gotcha. So I think that there maybe are, well, there are a number of different reasons why somebody might want or need this, but maybe three common things that advisors could be listening for as they're working with their clients would be a client that maybe asked for cash or additional income. That client maybe had a liquidity event of some sort, or possibly they're talking about being averse to risk, but needing some combination of things. How does that set with you?
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense, right? It's really listening to the client. And if they're wanting, those type of objectives and within their portfolio. And again, if you can't get there with your more traditional assets, this is a way to get there, right? We have, some strategies that are yielding in the 10, 11, 12% range as far as the cash flows that they're creating. Not that everything has to be that high cash flowing, but you can have different levels of the cash flow, but then also that downside protection element, is another thing to look for. You know, you always have the type of clients who want all the upside and none of the downside, right? That obviously doesn't exist. But here, you can rearrange those risk-reward structures to something that may be more attractive to the client than maybe just riding the wave of the overall market.
Gotcha. And I think that maybe one other area that we didn't hit on, but we will shortly, I'm sure, is some sort of concentrated position. Obviously, there are some things that you can do there to help with them. You just covered really well what should advisors be thinking about, what should they be listening for as they're working with the clients. And I think that the third piece to that is talking a little bit about what specifically they might do from a strategy standpoint to solve for some of their client needs. And with that in mind, I think it would be very useful if you could describe Mariner's SMA-based option strategies, if for nothing else, as to provide examples for the types of strategies that can be deployed in these high net worth client portfolios.
Yeah, for sure. So we have a handful of different strategies, and I like to put them into two buckets. One bucket you just mentioned is the custom bucket, where we can take over maybe existing client position, a concentrated position. And if they're looking to tactically get out of it over time while getting paid to wait for it to go to those higher prices, then we can create a custom covered call strategy on that position to achieve their objectives. Or we can even do a collar, which protects on the downside, to add protection on that position if they're not wanting to sell it. Because a lot of times the low cost basis of those concentrated positions is a big driving factor into, you know, how they're going to proceed going forward. The second bucket is more akin to, you know, investing in a mutual fund, right? The strategy is the strategy, or a traditional SMA, right? There's not much customization to it. So we have a couple covered call strategies that I mentioned earlier, where we have two different equity portfolios, and we're selling calls to create a higher yielding equity portfolio within those strategies. So the covered call is going to be kind of the most basic strategies within options, but then we also have two different flavors of cash secured puts. Now, our cash secured put strategies, how those work is you get to stay in cash, and that's really attractive right now because cash, you know, in the money market rates is getting, a little over 5% at current levels. So you stay in that cash, and instead of buying the stocks, you can sell puts at a level below. We're typically on average about 10% lower in strike, which means you have 10% protection to the downside before you'd have to buy into those stocks. So it's a way to say, hey, would I be willing to buy into the market if it were to pull back 10%? Yeah, if so, then it can be a great strategy, right? And you can have a high cash flowing strategy. This strategy is currently cash flowing, you know, in the 11 to 12% range with that 5% cash plus current levels of another 6, 7% from selling puts. So it can be high cash flows, but then you also have roughly that 10% buffer to the downside. So that strategy achieves two objectives, right? The downside protection plus the high cash flow. people have really been attracted to that because of, you know, the uncertain environment that we've been in ever since the pandemic hit. Now, we have one other strategy that is more of a return enhancer. It adds additional risk, but it's an overlay, and we don't have to disrupt the portfolio. And we're selling puts in that strategy to enhance the total return of the portfolio. So that's the last one, and that one gets a little more complicated. But overall, again, you know, it's a suite of strategies that we have, just depending on you know, that objective that you're looking to achieve. And in all of them, I think, you know, we've seen pretty good flows in all the different strategies over the past year or two. And overall, I think it's the ones where you are getting some downside protection with the high cash flow of where we're seeing the most demand.
I'm going to miss a few of these, so correct me where I missed this, but it sounded like you hit a couple of different types of strategies people could be thinking about. One would be, at the most basic level, some sort of covered call strategy, and that could be on single security, multiple securities. It could be on an index, right? It could be any of those. You talked a little bit about creating collars around positions. So that's selling calls and buying puts, right? Potentially, so that you can reduce risk on the downside while also limiting your upside, and maybe doing that at a, you know, a net zero, right? So you're not paying anything out. Maybe there's a little debit or credit, but that would be another one. And cash secured puts, that would be selling puts some amount out of the money so that you can get a little bit of downside experience, or I guess buffer into your portfolio while still enhancing your overall yield. To the degree you might have to roll or maybe close that position out, that would, you know, reduce your yield to some extent. But all good strategies. I think all strategies that are best professionally managed, right? So, you know, if you're an advisor, make sure you're well-educated, make sure you understand that. If you're reaching out to an expert or somebody who does this for a living like Brett, you know, they're the type of organization or people who are going to know exactly what they're doing on that front. So I would ask you at this point, Brett, you know, we're kind of coming up towards the end of the session. What else would you add for advisors to be thinking about in today's market or within their practice as they're thinking about any sort of options-based strategies?
Yeah, I think just staying high level and thinking of this world where a lot of investments have been commoditized, right? Whether it's equities or fixed income within an ETF, right? If you're trying to differentiate yourself within the marketplace, I think having more alternatives rather than less is going to be better, right? Then it's what we've seen clients looking for. And when you can have that as a tool at your disposal for clients, I think it really is a big value add. So to whatever degree that you're adding options or these alternative risk reward structures, I think it can only enhance an advisor's practice.
Gotcha. Well, I tend to agree with you. I think it's super interesting. I'd like to say, Brett, thank you so much for spending a half hour with us today, sharing your expertise and experience with what's going on in the markets and helping our listeners understand a little bit more about how forward-looking firms like Mariner Wealth are thinking about using option strategies in the high net worth client space and how advisors can identify those client opportunities. Flyer Financial is the firm that powers much of the fintech world that you love and use every day. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Rusty. It's great being here.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you for listening to In the Money, the show that delivers advisors, asset managers, broker-dealers, and other technology service providers the knowledge they need to navigate this industry. Don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Flyer Financial Technologies. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only.
The views expressed in this podcast are for educational purposes only and do not consider any individual personal situation. The information is not personal investment advice or recommendation or solicitation to buy or sell any securities. The opinions expressed by the speaker are subject to change at any time based on market and other conditions, and Mariner Wealth Advisors disclaims any responsibility to update such views. Please consult your financial advisor for additional information concerning your specific situation. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Before engaging in any option trading strategy, contact Mariner Wealth Advisors to receive a copy of the characteristics and risks of standardized options. Options transactions are often complex and may involve the potential of losing the entire investment in a relatively short period of time. Specific complex options strategies carry additional risk, including the potential for losses that may exceed the original investment amount. Mariner Wealth Advisors is an SEC-registered investment advisor. For additional information, visit www.marinerwealthadvisors.com or refer to the Investment Advisor public disclosure website at www.advisorinfo.sec.gov.